Tonight, I just want to say this before I begin. I'm about to read the scriptures. It's been humbling. We're going through this series called Relating, Dating, and Mating, a view of relationships, dating, sex, and marriage. And tonight we're going to talk about friendship. And I'm getting ready to pray for us before I read these passages. But I think I teach quite a bit in different aspects, whether it's this or smaller groups or even preach at different churches. And I think I am one of the most comfortable times tonight to teach to you. And it's not because I'm so good at being a friend. It's actually, I'm coming to you tonight very humbled. Because as I read and studied for tonight, I began to see the cracks in my own life and what a faulty friend I am. And it has really turned me back to the one who is my best friend in Jesus. And it has driven me to learn again and again and again, what does it mean to be a friend? So with that being said, let me read to us from 1 Samuel and John 15. 1 Samuel 18 says this. It says, as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. John 15 says this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, that so whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I'm about to talk about friendship. And there are many in this room that are like myself, if not all of us. We are all alike in the fact that we long for friendship, and yet we do not know what that looks like a lot of times. If we were to ask even what is a definition of friendship, Lord, we would probably give several kinds. But I pray this evening that we would understand more fully and more deeply what does it mean to not just have good friends, but be a friend. And Lord, what does it mean that you are the great friend of us? Lord, encourage those in here. There are several of us that have had struggles at home, whether it's death in the family or whether it's just struggling at from afar, being here at campus. And I know tests have started up, Lord, and those kind of things. I pray this evening that everyone here would find a place of rest, would sigh deeply, and take comfort in your word. And I ask this for my own soul, and in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Well, it was a few years ago, I remember checking my email, and seeing that I had two friend requests. And I thought, what? Is this spam? You know, what is this friend request stuff? You know, why am I getting these emails? I thought it was so weird. So I followed the link, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't know whether to be excited that people actually want to be my friend or kind of freaked out that I'm getting these things and someone's going to empty out my bank account or something crazy like that. So I followed the link to this thing called Facebook. And I end up signing up, you know, and getting on it, and I'm just kind of like, wow, what is this thing? You know, you're looking at all the stuff on the top, You know, it is totally, I mean, if any of you are ADD, you know that this site is probably the worst thing that you can go to. I mean, it is just, whoa, wall, you know, posts, all these things, like videos, everything. Well, you go on there, and I have these two friends, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I have two friends. One was a person I knew, and I was thinking, oh, that's cool. All right, I'm starting to get the hang of this thing. The other was a person that said on their, you know, friending thing, it said something like, hey, we have the same name. We should be friends. And it was like, at that moment, I really learned to use the ignore button. And like, now I've gotten really good at it. I'm like, ignore, yeah, ignore. I wish, let's be honest though, don't you wish it was an ignore? Like, that's not good enough. It should say reject, okay? It should just say go away. And I'm always afraid though, if I push ignore, I'm such a, you know, that little part of me, the people pleaser, it's like, are they going to know I'm ignoring them? Or how does that work? I know you think it too, because every time you get some sort of thing in your inbox, whether it's a message or something else, join this, come to this, do that, go here. You know, you're like, whoa, I can't do all these things, but yes I can because I go to Vanderbilt and I'd love to. And so you don't push ignore, right? You can say, maybe. That's maybe. So you're trying to do that. Well, I want you to know I've caught up. I've begun to build my friend empire. And I have about 500 plus friends, which some of you are going to go, you're such, that's terrible. You know, like I have like 3,200. And I try and, you know, update my profile like twice a week. And I put all these fun, no, I don't do any of that. I'm just going there and I think it's kind of, you know, it's fun. But I think it's, what's interesting, I do check it every day, by the way. I have become that person. I can't believe it, but I really have. And you have too, and don't you dare lie to me. I know you have. I don't care who you are in this room. You go on it at least twice a day. But I think it's interesting that friend, to friend someone, a friend has become not a noun, but a verb. Well, I'm going to friend you, you know. Have you been friended? I'm going to friend these people. You know, I mean, it's like, whoa, what? You know, friend has become this verb now. And it's changed kind of the face of the way we view relationships. And my point tonight is really not to talk about Facebook all night. And just like I said, I'm on it as well as you are. It's not to talk about Facebook as bad or evil or whatever, something like that, stupid thing. But it's to talk about friendship. And to really talk about our view of friendship. And that I really think that as much as we make fun of it, and as funny as it is, we do reflect a lot of friendship on Facebook in our own friendships in our life. That many of us do have friends that are just a quick association, or that we just share maybe information but no real relationship. Or we maybe check out their profile, or we write on each other's wall just to maybe catch up really quick. But what I think is just kind of distressing about that is what we've become are not necessarily friends, but just people who translate information to one another. And that friendship has kind of taken a back seat. And what I want to talk about is not even, are you finding good friends? But tonight, all I want to talk to you about is, are you a good friend? Are you a good friend? Are your friendships made up of simply just keeping in touch? Or are you really invested in each other's lives? Is it a transfer of information? Maybe you write on each other's walls. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but is that your real mode of communication with your friends? Do they know you, or do they just know stuff about you? And I really think that it's not a joke. I really think that that's how we view friendship. And we think that we have friendships because of it. And what we need to see here is about what is it to be a good friend. And first I want to talk about friendship is not just friendship of convenience, but of commitment. If you look at this passage in 1 Samuel, what happens here is really a perseverance of friendship. Look with me at 1 Samuel 18. Sorry. But in this passage, we see Jonathan and David's relationship begin. And right before this is that famous passage that, and regardless of where you may be in here, I'm so thankful. Some of you may not know your Bibles well. And I hope that through coming to RUF, you begin to hear more of the Bible and you learn that the Bible is not a scary thing, but it's something to think about and talk about and learn. But what the Bible what happened right before this was the passage, that's famous passage about David and Goliath, right? That David strikes down Goliath, and it's turned Israel upside down. They can't believe that this small little shepherd boy has just taken down this enormous guy. And everybody in Israel is freaking out about it. And especially the king at the time, who was King Saul, Jonathan's father. And after this passage, everyone is stunned. What begins to happen is this relationship of Jonathan and David. And Saul begins to see David's relationship with Jonathan as a threat. But what happens here, and you see this word, it's kind of an interesting word. In verse 3 of 1 Samuel 18, it says, "Then Jonathan made a covenant with David." That word covenant, to give you some basic understanding, the word covenant means a commitment. That Jonathan makes a commitment to David. Now, not just an appointment commitment, not just something like that, but a commitment of his life to David. And when we see that, it's not just a bond of friendship. Maybe they share something in common. Maybe they're in Israel together. But they really, Jonathan says, "I'm going to make this covenant with you and share my life." And it also means that God is at the center of their friendship. That a covenant was not just between two people. It was between these two people before the Lord. That the Lord was the one that watched over the covenant. He was the witness to it. And I think when we look at relationships, and I'm stopping here, when we look at relationships in the Bible, we tend to think that the Bible talks about all these happy relationships. And that's where we read the Bible and we feel good about ourselves and there's really not a whole lot of difficulty. No. This is setting up the stage for one of the most difficult friendships in all of history. One of the most talked about friendships in all of history. Between Jonathan and David. And it would be far from easy. Because Saul would learn that David would be a threat to him, his son, and to the throne. And he would try and kill David. And not only kill him, but try and kill his own son. No, this is a commitment to friendship here that Jonathan takes. Jonathan is the king's son. He is the prince. And he befriends a guy that seems to be a threat. In other words, maybe an enemy to he, his father, and all of the kingdom of Israel. And yet, their friendship begins here, and he makes a commitment to him. And one of the things I think we need to understand is that commitment to a friend, being a friend to someone, is not just because of circumstances. Being a friend means in and through circumstances. It's not just convenience of being a friend when it's easy. Being a friend means you walk through the hard stuff together, the difficult things, the mess of each other's lives. I think a good analogy for this is that we tend to look at friendship like a hot tub rather than a weight room. I think we look at our friendships like a hot tub. We think of friendships as a place where we're supposed to get in and feel cozy and we're kind of consumers of and we enjoy it. And it's like, oh, I'm so relaxed. This is so great. Oh, man, this is so easy. Life is easy. And we tend to think that. But that mentality, what it does is it stirs up laziness in our friendship. Actually, we should see our friendships more like weight rooms. And a lot of us are like, no, I hate the weight room. But in other words, that we should see our friendships like laborers, like workers. It takes time. It takes dedication, devotion, putting our life into it. We have to work at relationships. We have to work at friendships. And that's exactly what happens here. This is anything but a convenient relationship for Jonathan or for David. David goes on the run for most of his younger life because Saul is pursuing him. And then even later on, when it is known that the kingdom is going to be his, he pursues him and pursues him and to kill him. And Jonathan remains faithful to his friend. And David faithful to Jonathan. And it's not just a friendship of presence either. Because convenience also means presence, right? It means when we see each other, we're walking around, we're like, hey, we need to get lunch sometime. And you kind of walk away. And once you walk away, you forget about lunch completely, right? And so the next time you see him, you're like, oh, yeah, we should get lunch sometime. You know what I mean? It's like, wait a minute. Let's just talk about having lunch instead of having lunch. And that'll be awesome. You know what I mean? That's how we tend to treat our friendships. Friendships of presence. But they take work and a willingness for you to step in someone else's mess with them. When their worlds are upside down. Jonathan's world was upside down. David's world was upside down. And yet they were committed to be friends to one another no matter what happened. And it wasn't out of convenience. It was out of commitment before the Lord and to each other. And it wasn't just a friendship of competition, but a friendship of humility. There's an interesting verse here in verse 4. It says that Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David and his armor and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. It's kind of a strange thing. But what's happening here is a very ancient thing. What Jonathan is actually displaying is an ancient view of abdicating the throne. When a king or a prince was to remove his clothing like that, or his outer garments, and lay them down somewhere, it meant he was stepping outside of his rule. He was stepping off his throne. And y'all, this is unheard of in ancient texts. You don't do this with your enemies. Jonathan is giving up his throne. He is stepping off the throne and giving to David his kingly garments. In those days, you didn't give somebody the handle of your sword. You gave them the point, okay? You stuck it in them, okay? You don't have people taking your throne. You fight for it. You keep it. But what's happening here is so different. It's not a friendship of competition. It's a friendship of absolute humility. He is bowing before David. Let me put it this way. Aristotle he has a long treatise on friendship, and it's a very interesting thing if you ever read it. There's some cliff notes, probably easier to read than that, but which we're all used to, I'm sure. But he says this about friendship, that it is something that provides the ideal conditions for the successful pursuit of excellence. Let me read that again. Something that provides the ideal conditions for the successful pursuit of excellence. It almost sounds like a motto, doesn't it? Sounds like something you'd read out, like maybe outside on a plaque or something. But what's actually behind that, and the problem with that, that is deeply embedded in our hearts, that Aristotle is even bringing out, is that the view of friendships are merely to help us gain success. And let me tell you this, my friends. Being at this university, one of the most prestigious, wonderful universities in the country, you are being pruned and made for success. You are. You are here, and let me put it this way, you are here to build your throne, so to speak, to gain financial success, to gain social success, to go to leave here and change the world. By your rule and your strength and your power. But I want to tell you something that's completely different here. The difference in this passage is that we don't see Jonathan do that at all. In fact, his relationship to David has nothing to do with his own success. He gives his success to David. He gives his sword to David, knowing he could be freely cut down. And yet what he does is not competition, but humility. My friends, the gospel is completely antithetical, completely different than the mindset of building your own throne. It actually means you and I need to step down off of it. And the way that we view friendships today is, and I mentioned this even in the very first talk I gave in here on relationships, is about the framework that we have for our school life and try and fit relationships in there where we can. And you know that what's beginning to happen now, even as Brett gave the announcements, that you have 3 tests this week. You have so much school on you. And I'm not saying it's a joke. But what I am saying is, are you building your own throne? Or are you pursuing people in humility, knowing that true friendship, real relationships, if you want to have real friendships, are about you stepping off the throne. Not seeing other friends in your life simply to build your own success, but that you step down. That success is actually giving up. That the way up is the way down. It's in humility. It's giving up that success. When Paul talks in Philippians 2, he says something here about considering others better than yourselves. He doesn't say treat one another better than yourselves, right? If he did, that would be much easier, right? We're good at maybe being civil to each other. But he says actually consider the other person better than yourself. Consider them. And that radically changes our view of Southern hospitality versus gospel hospitality. And in the South, we're really good at Southern hospitality. Southern hospitality is the nicety, right? It's the welcoming. But ultimately, Southern hospitality differs from gospel hospitality in this fact. That Southern hospitality serves other people in order to serve the host. But gospel hospitality merely is there to serve the guests. The host is to serve the visitors. Now, friendship is radically different than building up your resumes with friendships. We are not meant to have aggregate friendships just for you to build your resume. It's to build your life. It's to transform you as a person, not as just a worker. You're built for deeper friendships than that. And it means laying your life down. And in John 15 here, when he says this, this is a beautiful thing that Jesus says, he's greater love has no one than this, than someone lay his life down for his friends. That being a friend means that you lay your life down for someone. It's one thing for us to look at our friends and go, oh, I would die for you. That's true. But Jesus is not asking us just to love one another in that passage by dying for one another. He's asking us to live for one another, to lay down our very lives for one another. That means entering into the mess. That means humbly giving up our throne and our life that we think is built with success, maybe even our dreams of the future, in order to love someone and have real friendships. That is a radical friendship. That is friendship of the gospel. Put it another way, you and I are longing in our story for somebody to get us, aren't we? I mean, isn't there there's nothing sweeter than someone really, than you being gotten, right? Than someone being in your story and knowing your story and sharing your story. I think that's why, in my opinion, that in the Lord of the Rings deal, that Samwise Gamgee is my favorite character. And I think Sam is my favorite character because he's the one, and I say much more than Frodo, that Sam gets it. You know, he begins the entire journey by being a snoop, and Gandalf calls him out and says, hey, you're going to go with him and you're going to follow him. And Sam kind of doesn't get it. He's like, yeah, okay, travel. And he starts to get scared and crazy things are happening. This ring is around Frodo's neck. What's going on? But then you begin to see Sam kind of transform. And Sam begins to understand that it's not all about him. And not just all about his story. but that he actually realizes that his story is all about Frodo's story. He becomes the best friend and an incredible model of friendship, I must add, because he gets that. But if you're like me, you're sitting there thinking, wait a minute, that's great and all, but that's a movie. That's a book. You know, I can find some inspiration, maybe some cool stuff from that illustration. And I will tell you, just today, before I came over here, I was extremely humbled by how I failed one of my friends. He had called me to see how I was doing. And was asking questions, laughed with me, really asked me about my heart, asked me about my wife. And all the while, I was so self-absorbed that I even forgot to ask him about the very close family member of his who just had a stroke, like a couple days ago. And yet he pursued me. Y'all, that is humbling. What hope is there for us then to be good friends? It's this amazing verse here in John 15. When Jesus says this absolutely astounding thing, he says in verse 15 of John 15, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Now, Jesus turns to them and he says, "No longer are you servants, but you are friends." Guys, when he does that, he's not giving up any sort of his glory. He's not giving up him being God. He's not giving up him even being their teacher. What he does is not necessarily their relationship change to him, but his changes to them. He comes to them and says, "You are no longer servants, but you are my friend." And let me explain to you the huge, vast difference between that. Y'all, he says, "You are no longer servants." What is a servant? A servant is someone who can't ask questions. Someone who must just follow commands. Someone who doesn't get to participate in the relationship. And he says, "You are now my friends." Friends. This is the Lord of the universe moving us from being servants, slaves, to friends. Saying that we have a relationship with him that's deeper. And it's not just, "Jesus is my homeboy t-shirt," okay? He is not changing himself. He is changing his relationship to us. He is bringing us near him. And y'all, this is what it means to be a good friend. And I think the reason you and I have such shallow friendships with one another and fearful friendships with one another and the Lord is because you and I still live as though we were servants and not friends. Because you and I still think that we have to measure up to one another in a certain way. That you have to be successful for people to like you. You have to look a certain way. You have to be a certain way. Friendship is drawing in. It's a safe relationship to be loved and deeply known. Guys, that's what you need. That's what I long for. That's what you long for, is to be known in the places where you are so despicable and yet you are loved. That's why Jesus changes his language of who we are to him, because we are near to him and we are known in all that we are, and yet he has revealed the love of the Father to us. And y'all, that is a mirror. He not only says that about our relationship to him, but your relationship to each other. That what it means is that we are in each other's lives. We know one another. We dig into each other. To be a friend is not to be a servant. To be a friend means you ask questions of each other, that you pour into each other's lives, that you desire your friends to change, but you wait for them to change. That you dig down into one another's lives, that you're sharing life together, not just circles of things, not just meals, not just classes, not just group projects, but you're sharing life. That's friendship. And too many times we're afraid because we still live and look at each other like servants. But guys, you have been changed. Because how in the world is this possible? Because the only way we know how to love each other is because what? This very paragraph, the entire thing is bracketed by Jesus saying, you know how to love, not because you're so great at it, but because I loved first. Because who is the friend that laid his life down? Who is the one that gave his life, who poured himself out, who let us know him and know the Father and brought us dear, near and dear to him? It is Jesus. And I want to say this to even kind of wrap some things up. That there are so many that claim against the authenticity of Jesus as God. That there were several, and this is true, during that time period, there were so many people that claimed to be messiahs. There were so many people. But the authenticity of this and who Christ is himself is so different from those other claims, and this is why. Because in every other instance, and you can read them historically, you can go to the library and see it, all of them claimed it. But every time, you did not read this of those messiahs to the followers. And every time the messiahs of other groups that were claiming to be messiahs, or even those that came after, in those instances, whether they were killed or fled, all of their disciples fled too. But the difference here is, and the authenticity and historicity of who Jesus is that He loves you for real. He says here that He is the one that laid His life down. And that is how we are to love one another. And that, my friends, is what has changed 2/3 of the Roman world after He died. And it wasn't because they were powerful people. It was because they were even suffering and persecuted. And what hung them together and what binds us together is that friendship. The friendship paid in blood because of the one who laid his life down for his friends. There's a hymn that we sing. It says, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. And the chorus sings this way. Alleluia. What a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end. He is not only our model of how we need to have friendships, but He is our deepest friend. Alleluia, what a Savior. Father, I am so grateful that You would send Your Son to die for us. Greater has no love than this, than one who would lay his life down for his friends. Lord, all of us in here are so fearful to lay our lives down because we think we have so much to lose. But Lord, I pray that we would lay our lives down for one another. Because we know that the cost of our friendship that is deep, that is not convenient. It's not convenient because You went to the cross for our friendship. It's not competitive because You humbled Yourself even to the point of being a servant. A slave to us, You said, You called Yourself. and you took on the very punishment and guilt that we deserve, that we might be called friends, and that we would call one another friends, brothers, and sisters. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Save us, help us, keep us, and love us. Keep us near to you till the end. Amen.